warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome one and all to The Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with my best friend, co-host, MC partner as well.
Yeah.
David Niles.
Among many other things.
A whole lot of other things.
It's a long list.
It would take way too long.
If you were attempting to name everything I've done in my life, yeah, that would be a long list.
Yes, it would. It would. Hey, shout out to my goddaughter, Mary Niles, birthday month.
Numero uno.
First birthday. We just got done celebrating her birthday.
Dude, it's weird.
It is.
It happens.
It flies by.
I know.
So.
And everybody says it. Oh, they grew up so fast.
I know.
And then everybody goes like, what? How old are they? They're growing up so fast.
Mm-hmm. The day-to-day seems
just
like
that's what everybody said.
Right. The day-to-day like seems like it's taking forever, but then like I get hit with the Facebook reminders from like what you did, you know, a couple years ago, and it's like, what? Luke looked like that 4 years ago? That
right.
seemed like not that long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or even 2 years ago or 1 year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So anyway, shout out to Mary. You can't understand us. You're not listening, but
maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Maybe.
So anyway, welcome to the Catholic Man Show.
Assuming she doesn't, you know, enter the convent at 16.
Yeah.
And is, you
and
know,
becomes cloistered.
Totally cloistered, yeah.
Which that would be awesome.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, because I'm her godfather.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely getting prayers.
So I'm taking some credit there.
That's right. That's right. So welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We have a very interesting drink upcoming given to us by I'm sorry. We do three things every episode. The ceremonial. Where's the candle? No one sent us a candle this week. I was hoping somebody was going to send us a ceremonial candle that we light. We do three things every episode. We tell you every episode the three things that we do. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage, which is what we do this segment, highlighting the virtues of temperance. The virtue of temperance, not virtues of temperance.
Yeah, I wonder if there are any sub-virtues to temperance.
Well, moderation.
Well, I'm not sure moderation is moderation a virtue in and of itself, because you could have moderation
you can
for
moderate
a lot of bad stuff.
Thing.
I think moderation is good,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily a virtue. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I'll have to think about that.
Add us on Twitter.
Yeah.
The second thing we do is we highlight a man gear, something that regular dudes want to have, like regular Catholic dudes. The third thing we do is we talk about a man topic, the most manliest topic on the interwebs, podcast world, extraterrestrial radio.
Most manliest.
Terrestrial radio, yeah. Most manliest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of superlative.
Yep. The manliest discussion in this world or any other universe out there.
Post-Jesus.
Post-Jesus.
Of course.
Of course. Okay, so John Culver... He's a Council of Man member. He hooked us up with this drink today. He runs a blog, Living Jungle Gym, which I really like because he has 9 kids, and he promotes like how having a lot of kids, 9 kids, can be just a normal thing.
For up until our parents' generation, it was a normal thing.
Right.
I mean, my mom is 1 of 9.
Exactly. Yeah. So but nowadays, it's like, are you crazy?
Right. You have 4 kids?
Right.
Are you,
so, I like how...
What, are you trying to pollute the earth or something?
Right. So I like how he just has a blog that he runs that just shows his day-to-day normal life. He also sent us a couple of little kids books that are really cool. Guardian Angel and Me and St. Michael and Me. So they're really cool. Go check them out. LivingJungleGym.com. John Culvert. Let's talk about the beverage.
I will tell you, I already, since we started recording, did a sneak peek taste.
I know. I saw you as I was talking.
And it is crazy.
Okay, so it's called Hinnaberry. It's a 90-proof rye whiskey. Infused with spices.
Infused with spices, I think, is the key. Is the main takeaway. I mean,
well,
you
cheers.
Can smell
and
it.
I want to get going on this.
Okay,
we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
I give him a toast. He sent us this
to John Culver. I would say, may your loins be fruitful, but clearly they already are. So you know, it's like you've already accomplished so much. But I cheers that you will accomplish even more in the afterlife.
And all your children are saintly men and women.
May you be canonized someday.
Wow. So the nose of this, it's Hinnaberry, Hennebery. Hinnaberry whiskey. The nose is orange and cloves.
Yeah, so the first
and
thing...
And a little bit of... You're going to call me crazy here. I get a little bit of bubble gum. Smell it. Tell me you don't get a little bit of bubble gum.
I will tell you I do not get a little bit of bubble gum.
Really? You don't?
I do not. I do not. That's okay. You know what I thought of when I first went to... I just dove in. I did not do the proper approach. I just took a sip. But as it was before it hit, before it hit my mouth, the thought that jumped into my head was Krupnik. And it's because of the cloves, I think.
Uh-huh. It's almost like a Christmas time...
Right. It doesn't really taste a lot like Krupnik, but just that initial smell triggered just because...
Come on, think of bubble gum and then smell it.
I tried that already. I do not think... I get like Red Hots when I smell it.
So it's very clear. It's a...
Tell me you don't get Red Hots.
I do a little bit. Yeah. Sure. A little cinnamon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But spices is a very good way of putting this whiskey. It's infused with spices. It didn't tell you exactly what spices, but it's very clear that it's cloves and orange, a little bit of cinnamon, probably a little bit of cinnamon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a great Christmas drink.
So,
and it would be really nice to have this just in your bar as something unique to offer a guest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know what I want to do at break? I'm gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna put ice in an 8-ball glass. And pour this in there because I feel like I may enjoy this better.
Really?
As kind of like a cocktail, but really just over ice, like a little bit of watered down ice.
Okay.
And I think that I would be very interested to see what this, I've never done that before. This is a first. I've never said this on the show, but
sure,
I feel like
sure.
that I would enjoy this with two or three ice cubes.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that at the break.
Okay.
I like the backstory of this. I kind of told you I want
to. Yeah. Tell about the dude.
Okay.
Tell that story. That was a good story.
Okay, so the guy who started this, or helped start it, was a partner in it. His name is Matthew Hinnaberry. He's an Irish guy in the 1800s, early 1800s, and whenever the Irish population had that potato starvation happen,
The famine. Yeah.
And they were all, so they moved over here to the U.S. And he was one of seven kids, and he was known as an extremely hard worker, very ethical man. And by the age of 15, he was already self-sufficient. And he was working so hard that one of the distillers saw him and said, okay, I want you to come work for me and run all my errands. And within 2 years, he became a partner in this whiskey that they started. And became very well-to-do, a very rich man. But he was known for his community work and his giving, being so giving.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his, on the bottle even has it, his family motto, which is Dare Maxima Virtues, which means giving is the greatest gift, or at least that's what they say it means. I don't know.
Doesn't seem to me like that is a literal translation, but
right.
I suspect it's an idiomatic translation.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But he's known for he's known as a very hardworking, very ethical man, and he treated everybody very well. even though he had a lot of money, he gave a lot of it away. He was very, he was a philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was hard for me to say for some reason.
Yeah.
I struggled. But anyway, so Matthew Hennebery, it's kind of cool. You can go to their website, henneberrywhiskey.com, and read his story.
I would love to be like remembered that way as a guy who was super wealthy, but still was nice to people. You know, like that's kind of what I would love for that to be my goal, my calling, to kind of like change the rep on rich dudes. Like, we can still be nice. I would love to be called to that by God, to be super wealthy and to do so.
You would carry that cross
and to like still maintain, like to show people that you can be really rich and still be virtuous.
Be a virtuous dude.
I would be willing to bear that cross.
You would?
If I had to.
How virtuous of you.
Yes.
Like we did say, it is a 90 proof rye whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like a...
I love it.
Yeah. I think
it's
that,
so different. Again, I always enjoy really different whiskeys.
Again, I think that I'm going to like it, and I don't know this for sure. I don't know. We opened the bottle right here.
Yeah.
But my gut feeling is going to tell me I think I'm going to even enjoy it more on ice.
Interesting. Okay.
So I'm really excited on this break to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, boom, there's the music.
Here it comes.
So anyway, hey, thank you, John Culver, for sending us this and those children's books, livingjunglegym.com. Go check him out. I'm going to go grab some ice. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
I'm David Niles. Sitting aside the one and only Adam Minahan.
That I know of. I don't know any other Adam Minahans in this world.
I know another Tim Minahan.
I did too.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah.
Who just became a Council of Man member.
Today. Welcome to the council, sir.
There's a lot of... We had a few new Council of Man members.
Isn't that weird?
It always like goes in
three in an hour or something.
Yeah. I don't know what we did, but...
But hey.
Welcome.
Yeah. Manly welcome to thee, all you new members. So you're sitting here stirring this with the ice.
Yes, I did.
Waiting for it to cool down. You know, one thing we didn't mention is the color of this is
very,
very
dark.
Very dark.
Well, and with the spices, you kind of would think that it would be...
Yeah,
dark.
You think the spices, I guess they would, depends on what they are, what the spices are, but
yeah,
they could affect the color, but it's just a very dark, like a dark brown. It's a brown. I mean, all whiskey is brown, I know, but like this is brown.
I think that I do like it better cold, and I think I'll like it even more as it waters down just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just like a great, like a Christmas drink. If you're having a Christmas party upcoming,
mm-hmm.
Go grab Hennebery whiskey.
I agree. It's just weird that also it's better on ice. I don't really think about Christmas drinks
on ice.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just kind of my opinion.
But this is a whiskey. You know, and everybody, you know, you'll figure it out. But anyway.
That's what we say about whiskey too. Is like, you know, if you like it neat,
you should drink it,
neat. It
the way you enjoy it. Yeah.
Right.
Because that's really what it's about.
Right. Absolutely.
And about looking cool.
And you want to try to branch out, you know, a lot of whiskeys are acquired tastes.
Right, and everybody knows you look cool. Everybody knows you look cool when you drink scotch.
That's true.
It's definitely cooler to be a scotch. I mean, I've said this before, you know, I wanted to be a scotch guy in the beginning, but I was a bourbon guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be a scotch guy because it's cooler to be a scotch guy. And then finally I admitted it, I'm a bourbon guy, only to realize, no, I finally became the cool scotch drinker I always wanted to be. It was like an answered prayer. You know what else? When I was a kid, I was terrified I would fall in love with someone ugly. This is a true story. What? This is just like an also another weird answered prayer that like, I'm not kidding. So, you know, as a kid, I would look at some of my friends' parents and think like, man, sometimes it's like, just like that guy married a woman to my like fifth grade eyes, who's not good looking. Right. And, but they stay married and like, he seems to like her. And I just thought like, you just fall in love with somebody and you just don't even know any better. And I was really, and I prayed fervently for a period of time. It doesn't matter how long. Okay. But that, like, this please really God, funny. Do not let me fall in love with an ugly woman. But let me tell you, it was an answered prayer.
If there ever was
if
one.
If there ever was, yeah. Anyway.
That's a weird thing.
That's a sidebar for you right there.
You also wanted to be a trash man. That was the first.
I really didn't want to be a trash man as much as I just wanted to ride on the car, like on the truck. You know, they would hang off the back of the truck. That's what I wanted to do. If there was a professional truck hanger man, that's really what I wanted to be. The trash was sort of like a prerequisite to what my what I felt my true calling was.
At the time, when you were
at
six
time,
or seven.
Or four.
Well, I remember we were talking and you told me that.
Well, so, but it started before kindergarten. Like,
okay.
I was very small.
I just remember the conversation in kindergarten. You
right.
telling us,
yeah.
that, telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're digressing.
It was still cool in kindergarten.
Hinnaberry whiskey is what we drank. That was the man drink. Let's jump into the man topic.
Man gear.
Or gear. Sorry, I got a little carried away.
Yeah, that's okay.
Man gear. Today's man gear is the steel woodcutter universal forestry axe.
Have we done an axe before?
I think that we've done a hand axe.
A hatchet. That's what I think too.
But I don't think we've done an axe.
Okay, but either way, we're doing this specific axe. We haven't done specific.
And I've actually swung this axe before.
Have you?
Yes. So I'm a big fan. Oops, sorry.
I did not realize.
I knocked my mic. Yes, I have.
Where?
And I really like it.
Where?
Where was I? I was at. It was. Oh, you know where it was? It was at Clear Creek Monastery.
No kidding.
Yeah. Not for the camp out.
Right.
But the
right.
Work,
for the work day.
The work day. Because I remember thinking, this is a nice axe.
And whose axe was it?
One of the guys.
So somebody
had it there. One of the guys who had it there.
Really, I think the best axe in the world is a sharp axe. You
yes.
know, like, you can have a fancy axe, but a cheap, sharp axe will, I mean, the bottom line is first step for an axe must be sharp.
Right.
Just like I remember in Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, a sharp knife is a safe knife.
Right.
A sharp axe is a good axe. But that doesn't mean that still there aren't some axes. Not all axes are created equal.
That's true. That's very true. You know what's why I think this is a manly gear is because we were at the camp out, right?
Right.
And we had an axe. We also had a chainsaw. But we had an axe there to cut the wood.
The chainsaw didn't end up working very well.
Yeah, and we actually didn't use it very long at all.
I think it needed to be sharpened.
Okay.
Actually, speaking of sharpening things.
Okay. But you see a guy, like, or you walk by and you see an axe with wood that needs to be cut. And it's kind of hard not to want to try to do that.
Dude, I know. I get this. I love splitting wood with
right.
an axe.
And so, I mean, it's a repetitive thing, but it's also, I think it requires just enough athleticism
mm-hmm.
and strength that even though it's repetitive, it makes it satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that you can, when you hit a log and it just splits in half
mm-hmm.
and the two pieces go flying in the opposite directions, it feels good.
Yeah, it's rewarding.
And it makes this sound. And you know, if you've got another log underneath it and the axe splits the wood and whoosh, and sticks into the
yeah,
the log underneath and you could let go of the axe, it stays there. Man, it just feels manly.
Yeah, it does. And so I think that, you know, as you're sitting there, you're chopping all this wood, you're working hard. You know, you have to put muscle into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about form. It's also about the way you do it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you
talk a little bit about this axe before we talk about
okay.
the form of an axe
okay.
swing.
Okay, so this, if you use an axe a lot, the first thing that gives is the connection of the actual piece of wood and the head of the axe.
The handle and the axe head.
This has a 5-point connection from the the handle to the head of the axe.
Okay.
So it doesn't get, there's five different ways, five different points of the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't unlock.
Right.
And it has a very wide blade at the end of it, so it makes it nicer. You can see it right here. I have it pulled up on our...
Okay, so you mean the length of the blade itself...
Yeah, maybe not the width.
Yeah, not
the length.
Width, but, you know, so yeah.
The
if
length
you were to measure across the blade, it's...
It's wide.
Okay.
Or it's long.
Mm-hmm. Which is pros and cons.
Yeah, but I think it's a combination of... It's still... You can travel with it. It's not like too cumbersome. It's not too heavy.
Right.
Yet it's still very efficient.
Right. So the downside is with a smaller, narrower blade, we could say, you're just putting your force of the swing into a smaller area. So you're going to make a deeper impact.
Right. But
you're more likely to hit the target.
Right, and
with a wider, which for most people
is a good thing.
Guys, that's what you need.
Right.
I mean, unless you've swung an axe a lot, you're gonna miss.
Right, and this axe is I had to look it up because I wasn't sure what steel it was, but it's a C60 class steel, carbon steel.
Okay,
It's a hard steel.
Hard, I mean, all steel is hard.
Well, that's
this
just
is
not
like
true.
So this you're saying this is above average hardness.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, that's why I like this axe.
Sweet.
And that's why I picked like this. This
and it's steel. Steel makes. I mean, they make good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make cheap stuff.
And when you say steel, you mean STIHL.
Yeah, some
the
people
company.
Say still.
Right.
But I think it's really I think it's German and it's pronounced steel, like STEE.
It's a well balanced axe. That's really what it is. That's
sweet.
What I was trying to say earlier when it was like...
Balance is also important. And the length, you know, you'll get more impact out of a longer axe.
Mm-hmm.
You lose accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot give up accuracy for impact.
You're right.
One, the most common mistake I see people make when they swing an axe is their footing. The last thing you want is your foot... Like if you're drawing a line, you're standing in front of your target, you're like there's a plane that's coming right down through the target that you want to swing your axe on.
Mm-hmm.
If your foot is also on that plane, that's a bad thing, because if you miss the wood, if you miss the log,
yeah, it's going against
it comes, it's going to come and hit your leg.
Yeah,
I mean, people go to the hospital for this reason.
It's not, that's
so
not good.
When you swing an axe, you want to have a wide, be always conscious of your footing,
mm-hmm.
and you want to have a wider base so that if you do miss, which has happened to me before, the axe goes down and between your legs, not hits your, well, it's going
to
hit like,
yeah, yeah, you have a chance to,
I mean, it's not going to hurt you. It's just going to, you're going
right.
to swing and whoop. Oh,
right.
It's going to go between your legs and your hands. Your arms are going to also hit your legs,
mm-hmm.
your thighs, but you're not going to the hospital. You're just, it's just embarrassing.
Right.
Which is way better.
Than hospital.
Yeah.
Because hospital is even more embarrassing.
Very true.
So anyway, that's the man gear for today. Go check it out. You can go to steelusa.com. Check them out. We're going to jump into friendships. Here in just a few minutes, we're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Man Show with Adam and Hannah and David Niles. I'm going to read this quote to start the man topic.
All right.
From St. Ambrose, a very manly dude.
Which the topic is?
No, before. I'm just going to read this
quote.
Oh, before.
Okay, I see. Okay.
By St. Ambrose.
I will allow it.
Manly dude.
Okay.
You concur?
Oh, I very much concur.
Okay. Virtue must never be given up for the sake of a friend. Friendship is the guardian of virtues, which are not to be found but in men of like character.
Yes.
That is from St. Ambrose.
Yes. And so today we're talking about, if we tell you the topic is friendship, you might think, oh, we're talking about the value of friendship and how what it brings to the spiritual life. And, you know, that would be a logical assumption because friendship does bring a lot of value, but that's not what we're talking about.
You'd be wrong.
Right.
We're going to be
So I got this text message from Adam. See, what day was this?
I don't remember.
It was like Monday or something. He just said, I'm thinking about having a topic on the loss of friendships for this week. And that was it. Like, that's all he said. Kind of out of the blue. And so I text back like, are you trying to tell me something? What the heck?
Like, so Dave and I are no longer friends, but we're going to still do the show.
Yeah, we're doing the show as enemies.
Yeah. It's going to really change the effect of the show.
But we hate each other.
Yeah. No, so I was thinking about my spiritual journey, and one of the big things...
You know, I really think it would be more beneficial if you would ponder my spiritual journey. I just think that would be a better thing for you to ponder.
Well, I think that with my spiritual journey, you can implement mine into yours.
Mm-mm. That would be like having a nice, clean glass of water and spitting in it. That's what that would be like.
That's very rude.
Well, we're not friends anymore.
No, but I was thinking about it, and one of the big changes in my spiritual life after college was kind of not the loss of friendships, but the distancing of myself from certain friends.
Would you like to name them?
No. No, and not that they're bad guys.
No, I know what you mean.
But I think that every guy can relate to, if you're in a certain group of people, the people who you're in with.
Especially, these are people that you've grown up with, that you have, there's habits, you know? And it's like, you'd find yourself, you quickly catch yourself kind of behaving like the old you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
I know. I'm right there with you.
It's very easy, like, you know, if... I'm with this group of people. Oh, I may be a little bit more loose-lipped than, you know, what I normally would be. Or this group of people, I may tend to drink a little bit more.
Or you start telling inappropriate jokes, you know, or just...
Or reminiscing about sins of the past.
Right, yeah.
That's also something that, for whatever reason, seems to be a fun thing to do.
It is. It's fun to, like, brag about the sins of your past. Like, oh, I used to do so much drugs, you know, I used to sleep with girls left and right.
Or I would, you know, I used to go to the bars on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right,
you know,
and get hammered.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Right, and
I don't know why that's... I've been guilty of that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, sitting there like, oh, well...
You guys don't know anything.
Right, yeah, I mean, I would never do this now, but back in the day, you know. And I'm not saying you can't talk about it, you can't have that conversation, but you just have to make sure you're not bragging about it.
Right.
You have to make sure that the way you're telling...
It's fruitful.
Because it's also scandalous. Even if you're not saying it to a Christian...
That's a good point,
too. Even if the person you're talking to is very secular, they still get the vibe that you're bragging about this, when you should be telling the story in such a way that it's truly embarrassing. You know, you should make sure that's part of your story.
Mm-hmm.
That how, you know, talk about how bad these things were for you and... how you've come to realize
that's not a good, like,
that, yeah, they cause so many bad problems in your life. But anyway, you know, but I think back to the friendships, I think everybody kind of can relate to that.
Yeah. And so, you know, you and I have been friends, like we've said, we've been friends since 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
But we've had, distance, you know, we've lived far apart from each other for a while. We didn't communicate with each other all the time.
Right.
But regardless, we're
always good friends, not always frequent friends.
Right. Yeah, we could still always talk to each other about anything.
Yeah.
So during those times, whenever we were kind of living, I don't know, however far apart we were, we both had different friends. And I had friends like, you know, since sixth grade that were buddies of mine that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And it was very hard for me after college and realizing that I needed to be this kind of man. And that I was striving, I was at least attempting, realizing that I needed to strive for virtue. Like, what I was doing was not a virtuous, it wasn't a manly thing.
Right.
And so I realized I needed to do this. And in doing so, I was distancing myself from the guys who were my buds. And it was very hard for me to let that go, because they were who I trusted and who trusted me, you know. Like, and I really struggled with it,
sure,
for quite a while.
Yeah,
I remember talking to Haley about it and being like, you know, I just feel like I'm gonna lose all my friends. You know, in doing this, I'm losing all of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than you. At that time, I mean, I thought I'm losing all my friends.
Right.
And so I struggled with it. But you know what? You know what happened? I decided I have to get more involved in my church. So we started doing, you and I both, we started getting more involved in our church. We started doing things.
Right.
And God placed, as I distanced myself from these guys, who I'm still in contact with, they're still great guys.
I was going to ask you that. Is that true? Did you lose them as friends?
No, I did not. We're still friends,
right,
but we just don't hang out
not
like we used
every
to.
Day.
Right.
Yeah.
But as I distanced myself from them, God placed in my life other men who are striving for the same virtues, living a virtuous life that I was wanting
right.
to live.
Yeah.
You know, we have now Juan, we have Scott, we have Chad, we have Ken, we have all these guys who I didn't know 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as I distanced myself from these, from certain friends, new ones were brought into my life that I didn't think I was going to be able to make.
Yeah.
And it was that leap of faith that I had to take of, no, I think that this is the way I need to live regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have to give it, you know, a lot of credit to my wife who continued to push me to do that. You, who we were always in contact with, you know, I mean, we were living together at that time.
Yeah.
That helped me move towards what this, you know, this life that I was really attracted to that I was not living.
Right, right. Yeah, because I think we all have to be willing to admit to ourselves that even if it's like, okay, you know, once you're friends with someone for a long, long, long time, you can say, you know what, I know them and I'm not just going to let their behavior impact me, because we're such good friends that I can just say, you're stupid. And, you know, because we've been buds for so long, it's no big deal. I'm just not going to do that. And it's mm-hmm. not going to be a big deal. But I think we have to be willing to admit that friends do impact us.
Well, yeah. And that's what even the beginning of that quote that I was talking about, it says, you know, St. Ambrose says, friendship is the guardian of virtues.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's the guardian, which are not to be found but in men of like character. So you can't be the guardian of virtues. You and I, could, like, if we weren't both Catholic, striving for holiness, pursuing holiness, we wouldn't be able to have a real friendship. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this, about how if you're not like-minded and trying to strive for virtue,
mm-hmm.
you're actually not friends, because you're using that person for what can they give me. It's not a true friendship.
Interesting.
He talks about it because he says, you know, the reason why friendship is there is because of the virtue of charity.
Right.
It's the love and fear of God and the striving to be with God. And so as friends, if we're not striving, you know, we're friends because of charity.
Uh-huh.
And those who lack this charity are actually not friends. It's because I'm friends with you, not because we're both going towards the same goal. We're friends because you give me something and I can give you something.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inward thing, not an outward
right.
thing. Like we've talked about on many episodes. Mm-hmm.
It's like a symbiotic, parasitic relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so St. Thomas talks about that in the Summa Theologica.
That's interesting. St. Thomas has a lot of very interesting work talking about friendship, especially when compared to marital love. He, you know, the way he compares the love of a friend versus the love of marriage. And I know that's not really a topic today, but it's definitely worth a read if you can find his work on that. I couldn't tell you exactly where it's located offhand, but you should be able to Google it pretty easily.
Or just at Matt Frad.
Yeah, there you go.
Because he'll know.
You know what? I'll bet you there is a Pints with Aquinas episode on this very topic. I'd bet $100 he's done this already. Because it really, when I read it, it was like, man, that is super good. And so I'm sure he's done it.
Yeah. Real quick, before we hit break, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this as well. You were talking about how we were like basking in the quote unquote glory days of our sinful life.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, for this reason, we should not show a cheerful face to those who are given to sin in order that we may please them, lest we've seen a consent to their sin and in that way encourage them to sin further.
There you go.
So he says, saying yes to that, you're telling them that it's okay to continue doing it.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, let's pick this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with my friend, Adam Minahan.
And you could say that.
I can.
Because we are like-minded.
Indeed. Indeed.
And we hold each other accountable.
You know what else? I have a lot more friends because of the Council of Man.
Yeah, like, man. Me too.
It was, we talked about this already, but at the campout, all these guys showed up, and there was zero awkward, hey, it's great to meet you, like, mm-hmm. I need to get to know it. In as much as it is possible to be truly friends with someone on Facebook that you've never met in person, that is absolutely the case mm-hmm. for the council. It's very strange. I didn't actually think that you could have a true friendship on Facebook, but it's because that we have, you know, friendship, Thomas Aquinas talks about this, is all based on shared something in common, mm-hmm. shared values, or even a hobby. You can have a friendship mm-hmm. based around a hobby. Now, if it's just like, all right, we're both into sailing. All right, they can be your sailing friend. They're never going to be like a deep friend if that's all you have in common, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But that's the basis of a friendship, is having something in common. In fact, C.S. Lewis has a really good quote about this. I heard this on David Bates' podcast, The Eagle and Child, the other day.
Go check that out.
Yes.
It's good.
And it says, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
And so that's really is what friendship is. Like, if you have like a weird interest into something and then you meet somebody else who shares that same weird interest, that's when it's like, just like Will Ferrell on Step Brothers with the other guy. I can't remember the other guy's name. I know his name. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Do we just become best friends?
Yep.
You like guacamole? Don't watch that movie. I don't recommend it.
I know. That's another one of those things, like glorifying the sins of your past. I catch myself constantly glorifying the bad movies of my past. Mm-hmm. And that one's not as bad as some others.
You're right. That's true. That's interesting, because let's talk about I was showing this to you earlier before we started recording, the catechism.
You know what? We got to quote the catechism more on this show.
I agree. I think that
I feel like that's the thing we could do.
We've been doing an injustice.
We do a fair amount of Aquinas, at least referencing Aquinas, not necessarily quoting him.
Right.
But we reference him a lot. Anyway, read the thing.
Okay. It's defining paradise. Which is interesting.
That is interesting. What number is this?
Well, it's 374 and 384 and 1026 and 1721. It's kind of a
1023. You don't have your glasses on.
Oh, sorry. 1023. It says, the symbolic description of the condition of our first parents before the fall, who lived in the state of friendship with God in the happiness of the original justice and holiness. Paradise also signifies heaven, the state of those who live with Christ forever in the friendship and the presence of God.
So I had never read this paragraph, but you sent this to me earlier and I read it. And that what immediately jumped out at me was this idea about friendship with God in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how, yeah, friendship is all about what you have in common. And here on earth, like right now, you, Adam, in your current state, how much do you have in common with God?
Very little.
Very little. Some.
Very little.
Some. More than you used to.
Yes. Only because of him.
I mean, right. And you're
only because of the infused grace that he has given me.
You're baptized. Okay. So you got a little bit, made a big progress
there. I went
to
confession this week.
There you go. And you know, like so, as you grow in virtue day by day and you become more and more like him, this process of theosis,
right?
Becoming like God. But once we're in heaven, we'll have a lot in common. You know, he will make us like himself. Mm-hmm. And so, thereby
partakers
our friendship
of the divine. We talk about that. We're partakers in the divine nature. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, the idea of theosis, which is the idea of like almost like becoming God, mm-hmm. becoming like God, mm-hmm. which is what will we will be in heaven. We won't be God. We'll be God with a little G, you know. But think about that. If we become like
not
him.
Not like we're Mormon. We're not saying that.
No.
I just wanted to clarify.
It's totally different.
Right.
Thank you.
I think it was important to clarify. I didn't mean to interrupt, right. But I do
just
think
Google theosis Catholic. Make sure to throw Catholic in there. Just
capital C.
Right. Just for, you know, good measure. But anyway, if you have all this in common with him, you're going to have this great friendship with him. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, wow, I'd never put the idea of heaven and friendship together.
But it's because
they do go hand in hand. And maybe this is bad theology. I don't know. I'm not... I'm not a theologian. I'm just a humble man.
You're just a simple man.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just one man.
I'm just one. Well, I mean, the Bible talks about a lot of different friendships throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
One being in 1 Kings, they're talking about Jonathan and King David. And the reason why they're friends is because Jonathan sees the virtues that King David exudes. You know, mm-hmm. The humbleness, you know, all of the striving for holiness, the fear and love of God. He sees all this and he's attracted to it. I think all guys, I mean, everybody is. That's why when you see Father Stanley Rother, if he was still around, that's why you'd want to see him. You'd want to take a picture with him.
But he's not because they killed that guy.
I know, but he's going to be a saint here.
Yeah. God willing.
Yes. But you know, that's why you see, okay, that's why you take a picture with the Pope whenever you see him, you know, cause he exudes holiness.
Right.
That's why when you see Cardinal Raymond Burke, you want to take a picture with him, whoever you name, whoever else. But the reason why is cause you're attracted to this holiness.
Right.
And you want to be a part of this. And so Jonathan did the same thing with King David. He saw it and he was like, this is something that, and they had a strong friendship.
And he was like, hey, can we take a selfie together?
Right, exactly. And it's up on the internet. So don't tell me that the iPhone, you know, it's a fake meme because the iPhone wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Reverse engineered it from the chiseling.
So, but, you know, when Jonathan died, there was King David had this, like, the sadness, and a true sadness whenever he died mm-hmm. because he lost this friend, but only because he knew, like, that he was helping him become holier, and that it was a friendship that was forged because of the virtues that they were striving together.
We should change your name to Jonathan.
That would.
I'm just gonna throw that out there. That could be a good idea.
That would take a lot of effort.
It's just one idea. Well, we could just call you Jonathan. You could just start going by Jonathan. You could still, you know, have your name the same.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I'm just throwing it out there.
One of the commentaries of this, of First Kings that I was just talking about, one of the Catholic commentaries says, really fast, really quick, it says, he who is not faithful to God and does not love and fear him will only be faithful to his friend as long as he hopes to gain something by his friendship. Which is kind of exactly what we were talking about earlier before the break was, you know, I'm only going to be your friend if you can give me something in return. Meaning that's not a true friendship.
Yeah, that's not.
That's
a
business
friendship.
Transaction.
Yeah.
That's like
parasitic. I'm just going to stick with parasites.
Okay.
Yeah, symbiotic parasite.
It's a contract, not a covenant.
Yeah, well, friendship isn't a covenant anyway, but that's okay. So that's I was just sitting here thinking about it. The Greek four loves, none of them specifically refer to friendship, which is kind of interesting because the friendship love is unique. You could say, oh, well, philios, brotherly love, that's supposed to be friendship, but that doesn't sum up the totality of friendship. I mean, there's also the self-giving, you know, obviously the even the eros would be part of the friendship of married love, you know, so that they all kind of have different elements. And that led me to think, what do you think is the fullness of friendship? Because it would seem like at first you'd say, oh, well, married love, married friendship is the fullness of friendship. But I'm not sure that that's true, because I think two men could have a deep, deep friendship that is full. Mm-hmm. It's just different.
Right.
You know, so I'm not sure I'd be willing to say that one, just on a level of friendship, you know, I'm not trying to compare other things.
Right.
You know, don't bring other things into the equation that don't have to do with friendship.
Right.
Just on a friendship comparison, seems like you could have a full brotherly friendship and then a full married friendship that are equally full, just different.
Yeah, with that, yeah, absolutely you could.
I mean, at first, I think my natural reaction to that question was that married friendship is the best friendship, you know, and it's like a higher level. Maybe it is, yeah. But I'm not sure about that.
But it's different.
It's just different.
It's different. Right.
Right.
Just as male and female are different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I think that if you're a guy right now who's saying, like, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this rut of friends that I feel like that I have to branch out, I think that the best thing to do is get on your knees and pray that God sends you somebody.
Yeah.
That can be your friend.
And look up Catholic social organizations in your area. There's Catholic business stuff. Here we have the CYA, the Catholic Young Adults.
Yeah. There's Pint Pipes and Cross groups that you could start.
Right. I mean, just branch out and look for them, because we've had a lot of guys ask us, how do I meet other Catholic guys, you know, that I have this in common with?
Go ask your priest.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, be just straight up with him. Like, listen, I'm looking for guys around my age to be friends.
Yeah, just to hang out with.
To hang out with.
But chances are there's something already in your area. Right. Find it and go.
Find like-minded men for the pursuit of holiness.
Theology on Tap is another good one.
And be a saint.
What else is there?
We coined that phrase. We started that.
No. Anyway.
We're on Lord Steve.
The winning side. So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
And John Culver.
And John Culver.